Your Bibles, please, for our second reading to 2 Kings chapter 15. Second Kings 15, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. In the 27th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, began Azariah, the son of Amaziah, king of Judah, to reign. 16 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done, save that the high places were not removed. The people sacrificed and burnt incense still on the high places. And the Lord smote the king, so that he was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house. And Jotham, the king's son, was over the house, judging the people of the land. And the rest of the acts of Azariah, and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? So Azariah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the city of David, and Jotham, his son, reigned in his stead. In the 38th year of Azariah, king of Judah, did Zechariah, the son of Jeroboam, reign over Israel in Samaria 6 months. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his fathers had done. He departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. And Shallum, the son of Jabesh, conspired against him and smote him before the people and slew him and reigned in his stead. And the rest of the acts of Zechariah, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. This was the word of the Lord which he spake unto Jehu, saying, thy sons shall sit on the throne of Israel unto the fourth generation. And so it came to pass. Shallum, the son of Jabesh, began to reign in the 39th year of Uzziah, king of Judah, and he reigned a full month in Samaria. For Menachem, the son of Gadi, went up from Tirzah and came to Samaria and smote Shallum, the son of Jabesh, in Samaria and slew him and reigned in his stead. And the rest of the acts of Shallum and his conspiracy which he made, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. Then Menachem smote Tifsah and all that were therein, and the coasts thereof from Tirzah, because they opened not to him. Therefore he smote it, and all the women therein that were with children he ripped up. In the 39th year of Azariah, king of Judah, began Menachem, the son of Gadi, to reign over Israel, and he reigned 10 years in Samaria. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not all his days from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. And Pul, the king of Assyria, came against the land, and Menachem gave Pul 1,000 talents of silver, that his hand might be with him to confirm the kingdom in his hand. And Menachem exacted the money of Israel, even of all the mighty men of wealth, of each man 50 shekels of silver to give to the king of Assyria. So the king of Assyria turned back and stayed not there in the land. And the rest of the acts of Menachem and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And Menachem slept with his fathers, and Pekahiah, his son, reigned in his stead. In the 50th year of Azariah, king of Judah, Pekahiah, the son of Menachem, began to reign over Israel in Samaria and reigned 2 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. But Pekah, the son of Remaliah, a captain of his, conspired against him and smote him in Samaria in the palace of the king's house with Argob and Ariah, and with him 50 men of the Gileadites, and he killed him and reigned in his room. And the rest of the acts of Pekahiah and all that he did, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. In the 52nd year of Azariah, king of Judah, Pekah, the son of Remaliah, began to reign over Israel in Samaria and reigned 20 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. In the days of Pekah, king of Israel, came Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and took Ijon and Abel-Meth-Maacah and Janoa and Kadesh and Hazor and Gilead and Galilee, all the land of Naphtali, and carried them captive to Assyria. And Hoshea the son of Elah made a conspiracy against Pekah the son of Remaliah, and smote him and slew him and reigned in his stead in the 20th year of Jotham the son of Uzziah. And the rest of the acts of Pekah and all that he did, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. In the second year of Pekah the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, began Jotham the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He did according to all that his father Uzziah had done. Howbeit, the high places were not removed. The people still sacrificed and burned incense still in the high places. He built the higher gate of the house of the Lord. Now the rest of the acts of Jotham and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? In those days the Lord began to send against Judah Rezin the king of Syria and Pekah the son of Remaliah. And Jotham slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David his father, and Ahaz his son reigned in his stead. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. All right, so chapter 15 is really a history of what happens when the nation that has been at one time religious and dedicated to the things of God turns away from that, and so the ripple effects of their ecclesiastical decline lead into their political effects as well, and so we have so many upheavals, wars, overturnings of governments through assassination and regicide and so on. This is indeed a part of the darkest part of Israel's history before her demise to the Assyrians in 722 BC in the northern kingdom and Jerusalem in 586 BC and Nebuchadnezzar. So the first thing we have is this king, Azariah, king who's the son of Amaziah, and we also know him as Uzziah, as verse 13 mentions. So both of his names are given in this passage. So notice that the Lord smote the king that he was a leper unto the day of his death and dwelt in a several house. We're not told here in 2 Kings why that was. It was because he desired to burn incense in the temple of the Lord and take to him the office of a priest. So the Lord says, seeing that you have arrogated too much to yourself in my house, I will make sure you never get to my house again. And so he sent him away as a leper. And for the rest of his days dwelt in a separate house. And so his son reigned in his stead. He was over the house judging the people of the land. And so he was buried in the city of David, and Jotham, his son, reigned in his stead. Now I'm convinced that Jotham came to power before he, quote, reigned in his father's stead. That the chronology has Jotham over the house for a time, and then as true king after that. And when we're reckoning a little bit later on that he was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years, that's what's spoken of here after his father's death. Okay? All right, so that's the first. Notice that the high places are not taken down through successive kings in the southern kingdom, not the northern kingdom. You expect that up there. But in the southern kingdom, we also see that the high places were not taken down. No matter how cool it was, you know, in those high places, no matter how shady it was, no matter how good it smelled with the incense, and no matter how much there was good meat to eat by the sacrifices that were offered, they were illicit places of worship, and the Lord continued to vex the southern kingdom because they had a place where they were supposed to bring their offerings, and they did not. They brought them other places instead. And so at the end of this, we will see at the end of the chapter, we heard about Pekah, the son of Remaliah, the guy we talked about in the morning service, We heard that he joined with Rezin, the king of Syria, and the Lord sent them south to vex Judah. The reason the Lord stirred them up and sent them south to vex Judah was because they had perverted the worship of God generation upon generation. Let us see here, not that correction of God so much as also we see that there was patience with God for some time, two or three generations of kings, even longer, four generations at least, where the high places were not taken down. Yet the Lord proceeded carefully, sending them prophets and telling them to tear down those high places. And when they finally refused, it was then that the Lord stirred up Pekah and Rezin and sent them south. And then that's where we picked it up today in Isaiah chapter 8 earlier today when we said, what are the people of God in Judah doing when Pekah and Rezin align together? Are they going to trust some conspiracy? Are they going to fear them? Or are they going to sanctify the Lord God in their hearts? This is that situation that we spoke of earlier today. All right, so we turn our attention then to the northern kingdom in verse 8. After Jotham comes to power in the south, and we have Zechariah, the son of Jeroboam, and that is the fourth from Jehu. Four generations from Jehu, as the Lord promised him, because of his zeal for the Lord and throwing Baal worship out of Samaria. And so the Lord gave him four generations, and yet those generations that came after him did not rise even to his pocked zeal, his imperfect zeal. None of his sons came up to the same level of zeal for the Lord that Jehu had, and that zeal of Jehu's was, well, it left a lot to be desired, but his sons were much worse than he was. And finally here with this son, Zechariah, he reigns 6 months and is slain by Shallum, the son of Jabesh. And so they conspired against him, smote him before the people, and slew him. We're not told here why they conspired against him. It may be that there was just a lust for power among Shallum and his followers. That's what it seems like. So now we move on to Shallum, the son of Jabesh. And so he began to reign in the 39th year of Uzziah. And he reigned all of a month in Samaria. 6 months before, 1 month now. I'd like you to just pull up with me for a moment and imagine what that looks like to the people that are in those kingdoms. To have the kingdoms jerked about by such violence, what that looks like to the rest of the people, and how much so they ought to have seen the judgment of God upon them. Okay, so we're not told if they did or if they did not, but what they should have seen is obvious enough. All right, so then it's Menachem that rises up, the son of Gadi, after a month of Shallum, and he kills him, and he reigns in his stead. And so then Menachem began, and he smote Tifsa and so on. But then notice also we get a greater detail in verse 18. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And one of my mentors once taught me that Jeroboam, the first Jeroboam, is hardly ever, after the time he lives, spoken of as Jeroboam. He's always spoken of as Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. He left his mark across the pages of Scripture because of his sin. Well, we want to make sure that we're leaving a better mark than that. We don't want to leave such a reputation as Jeroboam did. So with our children, with our children's children, with our friends and relatives and so on, we must ask ourselves what kind of reputation we're leaving behind. What kind of example are we setting before them? And what kind of legacy are we leaving? The legacy that Jeroboam left was a horrid legacy. We want to leave better than that. So because of the sins of the northern kingdom, the Lord stirred up Assyria. And did they sanctify the Lord God in their heart? And did they follow after the Lord? No. Instead, Menachem called to Pul, the king of Assyria, and said, well, how about if I give you 1,000 talents of silver? Would that be okay? Would you leave off conquering us then? Yes. Yes, I will, he said. And so what does Menachem do? He exacts that of all of the rich folks within Israel. He doesn't give it out of the coffers of Israel, no. Rather, what he does is he taps all of the rich men. And so, like a good socialist, he's good at spending other people's money. Right. Okay. So he exacted the money of Israel, even all the mighty men of wealth, of each man 50 shekels of silver to give to the king of Assyria. So the king of Assyria turned back and stayed not there in the land. So 50 shekels each, right? 50 times 2 is 100. So 50, what was it? 1,000 shekels of silver? 1,000 talents of silver. And this is 50 shekels each. Okay, so it took much more. It's harder to do the math there. A shekel is a very small portion of a talent. So this taxation of his went far and wide over all of Israel. This is a lot of money, a lot of silver to raise up. The other thing that we remember in Scripture, don't we, is that whenever we talk about money in Scripture, you don't hand off a piece of paper. You hand off something that has a value and a weight to it. You hand off something that is made of silver or gold or brass or iron or copper or something that has a weight to it that can be validated and verified, right? It's not simply something that is called today currency. It's actual money, which has in the thing itself the wealth that it purports to have, right? Okay. All right, so now we have Menachem slept with his fathers, and Pekahiah, his son, reigned in his stead. And this is the 50th year of Azariah, king of Judah. So now we have Pekahiah. And he did that which was evil. He departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. So then Pekah, the son of Remaliah, a captain of Pekahiah. Again, the names are hard to keep straight. You have Pekah and you have Pekahiah. Pekahiah is the king. Pekah is a captain of his. Pekah rises up against Pekahiah, and it wasn't to play peekaboo, right? It was indeed to slay him and to take the kingdom from him. And so he conspired against him, smote him in Samaria, in the palace of the king's house, right in his own home, with Argob and Ariad, with him 50 men of the Gileadites, and killed him and reigned in his stead. And so now we have Pekah, the son of Remaliah, reigning, and he departed not from the sins of Jeroboam. It seems that the things that they learned from their fathers were the bad things. They learned their worship, and they learned their accession through assassination. So this is the sign of a country horribly under judgment. We're not going to go too many more generations here until the Lord sends the king of Assyria to bring Samaria down completely. We have the precursors. We have the Lord's trumpets in this passage, don't we? There are certain portions of Israel that are taken away. You're worshiping after the sin of Jeroboam. The Lord says, I'm displeased with that. How do you know I'm displeased? Number one, you have a series of assassinations in your regnal line. Number two, I have sent Assyria in, and I've sent Syria in both to take away your land. I'm starting to strike against that which is dear to you. Please hear me, the Lord says. But they did not. And so in the days of Pekah, king of Israel, came Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and took Ijon, Abel, Beth-Ma'akah, Janoah, Kedesh, Hazor, Gilead, Galilee, all the land of Naphtali, and carried them captive to Assyria. Why did the Lord do that? The Lord sent Assyria into them because they had turned away from him, and they should have read the signs, but they did not. So then we have the rest of the acts of Pekah, all that he did. They are written in the book of the Chronicles. And then the second year of Pekah, that's when Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, began to reign. And we hear that he did that which was right, howbeit the high places were not removed. But the people sacrificed and burned incense still in the high places. And he built the higher gate of the house of the Lord. So then we come to the demise of Jotham. And in those days, the Lord began to send Syria against Judah, not only Syria, but the northern kingdom Israel, in the figures of Rezin and Pekah. But if you think it's been bad in the south before now, let's remember the next chapter. And Jotham slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, his father. And Ahaz, his son, reigned in his stead. And when we think of Ahaz's children, we want to think of a boo, hiss, because of what he does in Judah that we'll get to, Lord willing, next week. With that then, let's stand.